Well, I'll start off by saying that the title on the agenda is not entirely accurate. The final report for the ecosystem pilot project isn't complete yet, and when it is complete, it needs to be run up through the Habitat Ecosystems Committee, and that hasn't happened either. So what I'm going to talk about instead are some thoughts that hopefully will fill in some of the holes and close some of the gaps. I can't think of any other analogies for what Mike has presented and where we might be going and why this might be a good time to have some of these discussions about what an ecosystem approach is, how it could be of use for the New England Council, and also I want to talk a little bit about how well we're doing in some aspects of what an ecosystem approach is. So I'm going to start by talking about a little where we left off last time. And then I'll talk about some kind of key concepts within the ecosystem approach and then some final thoughts. Next slide, please. When we last left our ecosystem principles, the SSC and SSAC had recommended a two-prong approach, and I'll kind of read the recommendations as a refresher. To recognize that non-fishing activities have the potential to impact fisheries and vice versa, therefore, the Council needs to actively seek linkages, including considering collaborative approaches with other agencies and jurisdictions to foster ecosystem approaches to management. The second prong of their recommendation was to more thoroughly incorporate ecosystems approaches and principles into the Council's fisheries management activities. Specifically, the Council needs to become more focused on taking advantage of what is already known, as well as evaluating barriers to incorporating ecosystem approaches to management. Next slide, please. The Science and Statistical Committee and the Social Science Advisory Committee's recommendations kind of implicitly recognize the incorporation of marine services as the ideal version of an ecosystem approach to management. An ecosystem approach to management in its ideal would incorporate all of the marine resource uses. It would kind of have established linkages between non-fishing impacts and fishing impacts. You can it would have a system for collaborating with other agencies and jurisdictions, et cetera. The fact that we don't have that structure right now should not prevent us from proceeding within the fisheries management and science realm with an ecosystem approach to fishery management. Some of those same principles can be incorporated into what the Council does, how the Council manages, and also the scientific advice that is provided to the Council by the Center. The focus from the these last three bullets, and actually the bullets under both number one and two, are straight from the the SSC, SSAC recommendations, but focus on improving integration of existing knowledge and identifying avenues for further development. Next slide. It's kind of my contention and one of the results of the pilot project that a true holistic ecosystem approach to management isn't currently possible, given the sheer number of regulatory authorities that have a stake in the marine environment. I've got kind of a list of them over on the right on the slide, but there's a lot, and the way that they're integrated is not necessarily going to allow for an easy hierarchy for how to incorporate non-fishing impacts, fishing impacts, energy, drilling, mining, transportation, all of the marine ecosystem service uses. However, that shouldn't preclude the Council from potentially getting involved in issues that might affect either directly or indirectly marine fisheries productivity. Through the NEPA process and through MSCMA, both the EFH provisions and there are other provisions within the Act that do allow the Council to continue commenting on actions affecting marine fisheries. Through the Magnuson Act, it's a little bit more specified, and through NEPA, it's essentially as an interested member of the public. So that is a potential avenue that the Council could proceed, should it ever be adequately funded to do so. We could increase the one of the recommendations from the SSC-SSACs was to increase the involvement in coastal zone management forums, but it's also important for the Council to demonstrate value for including fisheries in non-fishing marine use discussions. A lot of times that value is not necessarily readily obvious to the other players in the coastal zone management realm. So if the Council were to have or were to try to increase their role in those discussions, it would be important to think hard about what value we could bring to the table. Next slide, please. On the other hand, within fisheries management ecosystem approaches, I think that we're doing a pretty good job as we are right now. And I don't say that because I think it's important to take credit for anything. I say that if you were to look through some of the management principles, I think the council system, both through the act and the way that the council goes about its business, does a reasonable job of incorporating things like objectives being a matter of societal choice. Last Monday's groundfish committee meeting is one example of trying a little bit more overtly to set objectives and be clear about what it is we're trying to accomplish through fishery management. And that's very important. As a public resource, the public would probably like to have access, at least pockets of the public would like to have access to information that says, here's what we're trying to accomplish with either a particular fishery or with all of the fisheries. And I think that the council is doing a better job along those lines and has been continuously improving along those lines for about 10 years now. Management should be decentralized to the lowest possible level. These principles come from an international, in this case it's an ecological society, but when they talk about decentralized management, a lot of times what they have in mind, particularly in the international literature, are things like Ottawa and DFO and Brussels and the EU. The council system is already quite decentralized. There's a lot of debate as to whether it's decentralized enough, whether it's the appropriate level of decentralization, but it already does decentralize. This is not Washington, D.C. running the fisheries of the nation. So that's another example of where the council system, as it stands right now, is already integrating ecosystem principles. Considering effects on adjacent ecosystems, this is something that we can probably improve upon, and I've got some ideas as to how, just in the short term, but a lot of the things that Mike had talked about would kind of give you a little window into how you can look at ecosystems and impacts on adjacent ecosystems. Focusing on appropriate spatial and temporal scales, the need to manage in an economic context, focusing on reducing market distortions, aligning incentives to promote conservation, internalizing costs and benefits. These are things that we heard a lot about both at the stakeholder workshops and again last Monday at the Groundfish Committee meeting. And so these principles are not lost on either our stakeholders or, I don't believe, on the council. So that said, I will quickly move on to the next slide. There was the recommendation from the SSC-SSAC to focus on existing knowledge. There's nothing in the Act right now or in the SAWSARC process or the way that the Science Center provides its advice to the council that would preclude a lot of the quote-unquote ecosystems considerations from being utilized in stock assessments and providing single-species stock advice. Some of the things that Mike spoke about, particularly the EMACs, the energy budget modeling, it's not outside the council's realm to ask, how do these models compare to the single species VPA models that we're being provided with or that are feeding into things like the biomass targets? Do they provide, for example, EMACs gives you a kilogram per square meter valuation of how much biomass is out there for different benthivores, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I wonder if anybody has added up what the kilograms per square meter for benthivores are on Georges Bank and then looked at the assessments, predicted assessments for biomass for the benthivore species and said, either these models corroborate or wildly diverge from single species models. So these are some of the questions that I think that the council could be asking. How are the models incorporating changes in predator-prey abundance levels? How well do the models match up? I think I just said that one. How will ecosystem variability be incorporated in future stock assessments? Mike alluded to the fact that when we get Scotian shelf water that slides down, the productivity in general decreases. So how are these factors being integrated into the advice that the council is getting from science? I think it's a valid question. And again, there's nothing right now structurally in Magnuson that precludes us from incorporating these things. And so in that regard, in an ecosystem approach is just another way to do a better job. And the council can also take steps of its own, incorporation of ecosystem changes in our management documents, tracking some of these metrics that might be important to the aspects of the ecosystem that are changing, tracking predator-prey interactions, making a a valued ecosystem component, one of the things that we look at, in addition to social and economic and biological, with or perhaps within the biological, the changes that will occur at various extraction rates for predator and prey interactions in our management plans. Next slide, please. So in an effort to try to simplify and kind of operationalize an ecosystem approach, there's a lot of definitions out there, first of all, and I'm not sure that it's really I've steered away from at the stakeholder meetings and in all of the presentations that I've given to the council thus far as a part of the pilot project from engaging in the conversation, you know, what is an ecosystem approach? Can we define it? Because I'm not sure that it's really all that relevant to nail down a definition at this stage. However, I think it's important to understand what, you know, at the end of the day it really is. And so this is my best take at it. It's a framework for marine resource management that's founded on the thesis that management will bring greater good to society if it objectively incorporates stakeholder values and an understanding of the processes that underlay ecological, physical, and oceanographic interactions. It's two things, right? It's incorporating stakeholders and setting objectives, monitoring, management, and these are things that the council does right now. I can debate with people how well they do it, but I think in general, you know, in an international context, the council system is very good at that. And the second thing is incorporating the understanding of processes that affect, fishery productivity. And that happens primarily at the Science Center. I mean, the way the system is set up right now, the council gets its scientific advice, you know, through a particular channel. And obviously the science that supports those types of questions, as Mike has demonstrated, is developing, and it's come a long way since people started talking about ecosystem approaches and fisheries back in 1995, 1996. You know, this is 10 years on and then some, and the science has really progressed quite far. And so perhaps one of the questions that the council will be asking in the future is, what are we going to be seeing for changes in the stock assessment process? How are these discussions going to impact the scientific advice that we're getting from the Science Center? Next slide, please. To get back to the stakeholder workshops, these are the values that kind of emerged from the workshops and the surveys that we handed out. What do our stakeholders want from this fishery? And this is kind of on the management side. The ability to deliver a quality product, diversity in fishing opportunities, effective governance, healthy coastal and marine ecosystems, healthy fish stocks, healthy fishing communities, and sound science. This is mom and apple pie in a lot of these cases. But all of these were very strongly reflected in a lot of the discussions at the Groundfish Committee last Monday and have been reflected in other plans where they have specified objectives for fishery management. For example, the Red Crab Plan and the Herring Plan have objectives specified for those fisheries. And they reflect these things, and they try to kind of come down on the continuum of employment versus profitability and consumer surplus versus producer surplus. And some of these kind of higher level objective discussions have happened in council documents and will continue to happen. So these are, I think, very productive developments and are showing that, and again, I don't bring this up because I think we should take credit for doing anything, but we're showing that integrating an ecosystem approach into the council's system is not so hard. It's not structurally impossible. And we are, in fact, doing it. A couple of other points, though. We talked a little bit, or Mike had talked a little bit, and some of the questions that were asked after Mike's presentation discussed these issues about system-wide MSY and how that might be operationalized at the council level. And that becomes quite difficult simply because, as it stands right now, legislation probably wouldn't allow it. You know, as soon as we institute a rebuilding plan, the focus shifts from potentially on the whole to on the individual parts. Now, had at the time that the Magnuson Act was established, none of our fisheries been considered overfished or overfishing wasn't occurring, then there wouldn't have been a fishery manager or a rebuilding program instituted. In those cases, the stocks are allowed to fluctuate between, you know, BMSY and one half of BMSY, and the potential is there to focus on the whole and not the individual parts. Under current legislation, however, as soon as you institute a rebuilding program, the focus must shift to the individual parts. So that's, you know, one area where the system-wide MSY might be interesting to look at and to explore, But we kind of bump up against a wall when we've got rebuilding programs and we have to focus on those individual parts. However, there's probably a lot of instructive information on the relationship between those parts that could impact things like the biomass reference points and the biomass targets, et cetera. And so it is fruitful to continue to have these discussions and potentially to push the Science Center to continue the development of the science, because they've got a lot of very smart people that are working very hard on doing just these sorts of analyses. The question is, when will and in what form will they be incorporated into the advice that's provided to the council? I had a couple of other thoughts. Let's see. And my last thought that I want to point out is that when you look at definitions of ecosystems approaches to management, one of the conspicuous aspects of the way that NOAA has defined an ecosystem approach is that it's very geographically specified. This is not the case in all definitions, but the service has taken the stand or the perspective that it is an integral part of an ecosystem approach is to define regions, establish what is capable within those regions, and kind of go from there. A question that the council is going to need to answer as we try to integrate what the Science Center is doing and what the service is doing with what the council is doing is that an appropriate metric for management of the council's fisheries? Will that be the basis for monitoring, or could that be the basis for those geographic subregions that Dr. Fogarty had identified? Could those be the basis for fishery management at the council level? I obviously have no answers. We did talk extensively about that at the workshops, and there's a lot of information online as to how our stakeholders felt about that. But I think that is going to be an important question going forward as we try to integrate what the service is doing, what the center is doing, and what the council is doing. Last slide, please. So my last slide is that, and this is kind of my own personal theory, is that ecosystem-based management will serve as the underlying foundation for fisheries management both in New England and nationwide, because it's a good idea. It's not that hard. It basically boils down to those things that I've already talked about. It's happening now, and it will continue to evolve. So I think that as the council continues to think about these ecosystem issues, what's at stake is really how it's all going to get integrated. You know, what's going to be the format for integrating some of the scientific concerns and some of the management concerns under this ecosystem approach. And that's all that I have today.
Thanks, Chad. Any questions for Chad? No one on the council? Take a few from the audience. John?
Yeah, thanks, Chad. That was an interesting report. I have to say, though, I'm a little distressed that amongst the laws that were listed on your report, that the National Marine Sanctuaries Act is not included in that list of laws, and I think that's a major oversight. 3 miles out that away, folks. 846 square miles. And the mandate of the National Marine Sanctuaries Act is to manage for ecological integrity. The management plan for the sanctuary that's been developed over the last 5 years, with the participation of over 200 individuals involved with various aspects of the marine system from our region, contributing to the plan elements. That management plan is going to be coming out either in late January or early February and for public comment. And then following on that initial management plan, there will be regulations being proposed by the National Marine Sanctuary System for specific aspects of the plan, and some of those regulations will be falling into a negotiation with this council. So I just want to put people on, make people aware that there is cutting-edge development of ecosystem management of marine systems in this region, and it is begun already here in Massachusetts Bay with the National Marine Sanctuary, and that hopefully this council will be entering into a very productive and insightful dialogue with the National Marine Sanctuary System in developing this, in further developing this plan and the regulations that are going to flow from it. So looking forward to that discussion, and it'll begin this winter.
All right, Jeff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Jeff Kalin from Portland, Maine. One of the things that I'm interested in is the council and the ASMFC becoming coordinated as this, they approach these management plans from an ecosystem perspective. And some of the people that I work with are managed solely by ASMFC. Some are managed by both. And I wanted to use this MSVPAX model, which the ASMFC has rolled out. It's a model that is being touted as the first step towards ecosystem management and identifying the trade-offs for the various species-specific committees that ASMFC runs. And I don't know if it's any good or not, but it's beginning to affect a lot of almost every resource in the region, many of which are managed by the council, like herring, you know, how many herring are eaten, weak fish, the whole gamut of things is on this list. And so I just wanted to say that and ask that, you know, maybe the council could review that model and take a look at it and see if it makes any sense from the way you're thinking around the table. The last thing I want to see as a regulated, as an industry person, is to have more than, you know, one set of criteria that we're being managed by, and I don't see the coordination between the council and ASMFC on this at all. And I just wanted to point that out while you're having this discussion today. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, back to the council. Dave and then John.
Yeah, Chad, I had a chance to think here a little bit while other people were talking, and one of your key points was on this legal issue that we, you know, true EAM is not possible under the current regulatory authorities. And you say we must demonstrate value, and that struck a chord with me. Value is what kind of value? I'd just like you to expand on that a little bit more. I think value is more than just economic value a lot of times in non-fishing discussions, but also in our own management plans. We make ecosystem considerations, and I don't think we a lot of times have done what you're suggesting here, which is to say why there's a value to having made that choice, that we chose to leave fish X in the ocean for a certain period of time because it has more value as, say, a larger fish or as a prey species than it does as being caught at this particular time. And that struck me as a very interesting finding that I think is worthy of a little further pursuit. So maybe you just want to kind of go a little further into what value might be.
You want me to do it now?
Well, I mean, you could, or you could include it in the document if this is the final document.
I certainly can expand on that, and I do a little bit in the final report, but you know, I can make sure that some of those issues are addressed. I'll say that in the presentation, what I had in mind by value is the fact that it'll be if the council were to ever be in a position to raise its profile in some of these coastal zone management issues, it would be in a cooperative sense, and we would need to go in with the understanding that, or having thought about what it is that we are bringing to the table that could be of benefit to the other agencies and authorities that are operating in these environments.
John.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. You know, this is certainly a huge task. And I always hearken back to those folks that, you know, at least had an opportunity to think environmentally and ecosystem approaches before they became bureaucrats. I'm looking at myself here, so don't worry about that. And I keep threatening Mark that I'd make a motion that he'd be the committee of one to develop the model for the council that will be our ecosystem model. He said he would not second that. It's a huge task. Jeff's point of, well, is there coordination and that sort of thing amongst all the entities? John pointed out other activities that are going on. And I think that it'll be a constant process to keep up with what's going on out there. Obviously, the councils will need to do that. I think, to Jeff's point, there are processes in place. The ASMSC may be working on a model, but eventually that model goes for a peer review to determine how well it works. Same thing with any of the models that we come up with. And so there's always going to be that ability to know what's going on out there and how effectively it can be used or how effective it is when it's used. So I just wanted to get those particular points out here. I think Chad's done a great job of trying to pull a lot of these things together so that we can, certainly know what the questions are. I don't think we have a model yet that incorporates this. Maybe Mike would like to argue that point and say that he's got it in his mind already, and that's probably where it would be. But, I think we've got a long ways to go before we have a reliable system for ecosystem management.
Sally?
As we're talking, my concern is that this is going to die on the vine, and I don't want that to happen. I know the next item on our agenda is what the priorities are, so I'm not going to suggest that we bump development of an ecosystem management plan above the line. That said, I feel like we need to go back to where we were at the Portland meeting. I think that was in January of this year, and consider reconsider and have the Habitat Committee reconsider a recommendation that it brought forward. I don't remember if it was unanimous, but it was a pretty decent margin on the vote to take one of the first steps that has been recommended to the council to take to kind of help us keep pace with what's going on with ecosystem-based management, and that is to look a little bit further at what Mike was sharing with us, and that is the geographically specified regions that define sub-ecosystems within the region that this council is responsible for. So with that in mind, I would offer a motion to that effect that the council direct the Habitat Committee in collaboration with National Marine Fisheries Service to develop geographically specified subregions that may be used for fisheries management. If I could, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead. The motion was seconded by Tom Hill.
I would have, if I had been planning ahead a little bit better, I would have simply brought up something that was a little more closely aligned to the motion that we considered back in January. But what I see is this is keeping us moving in the direction of ecosystem approaches to fisheries management, keeping it on the plate, because every time the Habitat Committee meets, we talk about non-fishing impacts and what the Army Corps of Engineers is doing, what the state of Massachusetts is doing, and how frustrating it is that we don't have a more coordinated approach to management. And the advice that I've been hearing as a first baby step is to look more closely at the subregions in the Northeast to help us at least think a little bit more differently about how we might want to work with the states or with other agencies that have different jurisdictions and different authorities than the council has.
Any other discussion? I have a question. Sally, if this motion were to pass, how would this affect the workload that the Habitat Committee is currently under in the timeline? Or do you think it's something that can go on in the background?
Well, I would hope that it would be something that could be done largely in collaboration with the service, because every time Mike comes and speaks to us, he's kind of taken things a little bit further. So I would hope that there would be significant input from the service to help keep the committee going. I wouldn't want this to interfere with the Habitat Amendment.
Jim.
Yeah, just to the motion, I think you're trying to say as it goes along with the ecosystem management, but that isn't in the motion. We already have geographically specified subregions for fisheries management. So what would make this different than what we're already doing, unless you include something in there that says ecosystem?
I would perfect the motion to say to develop geographically specified subregions based on ecosystem principles. And by that, I mean all the different factors that Mike was talking to us about in his presentation.
Is the seconder okay with the perfection? Dennis?
Yeah, Sally, a motion similar to this came out of the committee a couple of years ago. I think we were in Rhode Island somewhere. And I do recall encouraging, because those ecosystems do reach down into the Mid-Atlantic, so I would encourage possibly including the Mid-Atlantic along with NIMS in this motion. Do you recall the motion that came out of the committee? I guess that's probably 2 years ago now.
If we're talking about the same one, it was actually, I think, at the beginning of this year, back in Portland, if I remember correctly. But to respond, if I could, Mr. Chairman, if there's an interest from the Mid-Atlantic in doing this, it only makes sense that when the when the ecosystems overlap and extend further south, that we shouldn't be drawing arbitrary lines, because certainly that's what tends to get us in trouble and away from ecosystem approaches.
Any further comments or questions? A few hands up in the audience. Ron? I saw a hand in the back I couldn't identify.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Smolowitz, Fisheries Survival Fund. I have a question. Back when they approved the Magnuson Act in 76 at the fisheries, we were trying to figure out whether we should be managing by fish stocks or by area or by fleets. So we were dealing with this particular issue. And as Dr. Fogarty had indicated, we were talking in ICNAF, the last years of ICNAF, we were managing by total effort. My question is on the last phrase here, ecosystem principles that may be used for fisheries management. And my question, whether it's to Dr. Fogarty through you, Mr. Chair, or Chad, from what I'm hearing, right now we talk in terms of MSY for each individual stock. And in ecosystem management, if you choose an ecosystem, which is what we're talking about this here, are we saying that we would be choosing an MSY for that system and then deciding what stock mix we would want? We always talk now about that it's not ecologically possible to have all stocks at MSY at the same time. This is a great idea, but do we have the authority to do it? In other words, can we choose an area, define an area, choose a target MSY for the whole area, reach down to an OY by looking at the species within that area? I'm just wondering if this is the cart before the horse. I guess I'm thinking out loud.
Well, I think Ron's question is the cart before the house, but this course, but this motion isn't. This motion, as I see it, is that at some point when we have enough funding, we're going to have an amendment that develops an ecosystem plan. And one of the first steps in that plan would be to identify what are our boundaries? What are our ecosystem boundaries? Georgia's Bank, Gulf of Maine, Southern New England. There might be some subsets. I don't know. But this is the first step. It's identifying boundaries for area-based management versus single species, single harvest, single yield. So as long as everyone views that, we're not going to go down Ron's road. That's way down the line. What Sally wants to do, which I think is a great idea, let's just identify our boundaries as we proceed further. And after habitat, when we get into the ecosystem plan, then we'll address some of the other issues. But this is just the boundaries, right, Sally?
It's just the boundaries, and it's a first step. And but I don't see this, or my hope is that this can happen concurrent with that development of the habitat amendment, that it's a small enough chunk to bite off that we don't have to wait until that's done to get going with this first step.
Good afternoon. My name is Frank Abel. I'm with URI, and I have been with Ken Sherman's group down at the Narragansett NIMS lab. I just wanted to mention that in terms of this motion, that there is some science available to back up this motion. It's science that's done by Mike Fogarty et al., called A Fisheries Risk Assessment, Sources of Uncertainty, a Case Study of Georgia's Bank Haddock, which was in the journal Environmental Science and Technology in 1992. And I think that makes for a nice baseline-type paper for going forward with this idea. The motion that Sally was talking about did take place at the February 1st Portland, Maine, meeting about bringing it into the Habitat Committee for Development of a Fishery Ecosystem Plan, I think was the terminology that was partly used. In the original discussion that the council had took place at the Newport, Rhode Island meeting in 2005, which was in late March, where there was a motion to bring the idea of a fishery ecosystem plan forward. So that goes back about a year and a half now. Thank you.
Mike.
Very much like to help the council in moving forward in this way, as Sally suggested. It is something that is a high priority for us, and we've got other work ongoing that would complement the work that I showed today by looking at, for example, mixes of different fish species in different areas and see how that corresponds to the kinds of boundaries we've identified. So just to say that we're happy to try to help in any way we can on this.
Thanks. Anybody else? Okay, back to the council. Jim.
Yeah, I was glad to hear that Mike would like to work on this. It seemed to me that from what he presented this morning, he's already laid out at least one scenario that accomplishes this already when he showed us the different regions. So at least some of the analyses are already done. The question that Ron Smolowitz was raising, that gets into what's the objective, and that was something that Mike Fogarty said there could be many objectives depending on depending on who you ask. And I think the way it's written there, it says based on ecosystem principles. So it's very general. It leaves it open. And the only thing I would say is maybe if you could go a little further, which I don't think you're ready to do, but to specify an objective, then that would guide this a little, make it more a little specific, but at the moment it seems appropriate.
John.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. With some humor mentioned Mark would be happy to be our guiding force for ecosystem development. He is bigger than I am, and you know, he's very close to me, so that's why I didn't make the motion. But the point that I was I think I was trying to make was that if we're going to continue on this course, then we do need to have a focal point for it. And if the intent is to continue to have the Habitat Committee as the focal point for working with the service and others to bring forth to the council concepts of ecosystem principles that can be used for management in the future, then I think that gets Mark off the hook and certainly I think keeps us on the right direction for moving ahead and having it focused for the council. Because otherwise, if we don't do something like this, it'll be periodic reports. We'll all say thanks, and we won't have it come to fruition at whatever time it's going to come to fruition. So I would support this as this is you know, the baby steps, and I think we ought to, you know, understand that that's also what we're saying is that we're going to put that job on that on the Habitat Committee to keep bringing forth to the council particular concepts of ecosystem principles that can be used for our management in the future. That's my interpretation of it.
Thank you. I haven't heard any negative comments. I'm going to call the question. All those in favor of the motion on the board, raise your hand. Unanimous. Okay. Is that it for you, Chad? Okay. Thank you. We'll move on to our 4 o'clock agenda item, which is the council management priorities behind tab number 1. I'll turn it over to Paul Howard.
Karen, if you could put that document on the board. And behind tab 1, number 2, is the executive committee meeting minutes. And you'll find in that enclosure 1 has the draft 2007 priorities, which the executive committee talked about on October 16th. And then the NRCC, we discussed them on October 17th and 18th. Also behind in enclosure 1, you'll find what our priorities were in 2006. And also an enclosure that was put together by George Darcy, who has been working on a matrix, as I mentioned, that our priorities impact the Mid-Atlantic priorities, the ASMFC, the Science Center, and the regional office. So what we do is we sit down for a couple of days and go through the whole matrix. And this is the first time I've given you a copy. It's very in-depth, and we always marvel that George is able to put this together every year. But